The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in. I'm so happy you're with us today. You know, we continue our journey through Canada Country at the Speak Up Table, and you know that I always encourage you to listen and to learn about your candidates before you cast your vote. It may sound simple. We've got early voting going on and absentee voting, and I just encourage you to hold off until you have heard your candidates and you know in your heart, not by somebody's yard sign, who you want to vote for. So we're going to help you do that today. We have the three Sandpoint Mayor candidates with us. We're talking with Kate McAllister, Jeremy Grimm, and Fritz Moore. You know, right now we're going to take that first break. We're going to do that, do a little business, and we will be right back.
Hello, this is Scott
and Ty of Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
We are very proud to provide the Sandpoint area with quality, competitive companies and exceptional service.
For all your insurance needs, whether it's life, health, home, auto, or commercial coverage, Scott and I are available to assist you in determining what coverage meets you and your family's needs.
We are located in the old Powerhouse Building, Suite 203, so come on down and see us. 208-265-6406.
Standing at the edge of a rocky shore, you breathe in the cool, salty air, watching the sun disappear on the horizon. Across the globe, someone begins their day along a sandy beach, listening to the rhythm of the crashing waves. You each envision a world beneath the water, vibrant life in every imaginable form. Now, imagine it's all gone. What was once a place of wonder and beauty is now a dull, lifeless wasteland. Food, jobs, medicine, all gifts from the ocean, all gone. Time is running out to protect our oceans, and without our love, everything the oceans provide can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our oceans. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
What's holding you back from learning the language you've always wanted to know?
Too hard.
Takes too long.
Not with Babbel. Babbel's lessons take just 15 minutes a day.
15 minutes isn't long.
Nope, and they're fun. So you don't realize you're learning a language, but you are. In 3 weeks, you're able to start having conversations. And Babbel's lessons are built around real life.
And with Babbel, it isn't hard.
It's perfect.
Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them. These are the beautiful voices of police officers, firefighters, nurses, and teenagers who remind us that we can come together and create harmony and unity. Brave to 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. Join me, say hello, and welcome to our three mayor candidates for the city of Sandpoint, Kate McAllister, Jeremy Grimm, and Fritz Moore. All right, we're going to start with introductions, and you guys are going to do your own introductions. And Kate, I'll start with you.
Great. Thank you so much, Barbara, for inviting me on your show. My name is Kate McAllister, and I am running for Sandpoint Mayor. I have lived here for 30 years, and I have been involved in many aspects of the community. For the past 13 years, I've been the president and CEO of the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce, helping businesses succeed, being part of downtown and all that goes on downtown. The last 4 years, I have been on council, Sandpoint City Council, and the last 2 years, I have been Sandpoint City Council President. I really enjoy all of the aspects of this. I'm kind of a nerd, so learning about all these things and reading about everything that goes on and getting our packets on the Friday before the Wednesday meeting has really been interesting. I've read 185 page sewer report. I know what a slug load is, things that you never thought you'd learn, right, while serving in public office. I have the heart of a public servant, and I'm certainly ready to serve again, and I hope I can get your vote.
All right. Kate McAllister, thank you for that. And now Jeremy Grimm.
Hey, good morning or almost afternoon. Great to be here. Jeremy Grimm, running for mayor of Sandpoint. And I'm a resident of Sandpoint since 2007. Live here with my wife, Nicole, who's a family nurse practitioner. We're raising two children. I've got a senior in high school at Sandpoint High and a daughter in seventh grade who's Idaho Gem Prep Online. I'm running for mayor because I care a lot about this community, and I care about a community being able to support my children and other families like mine in the future. I'm real concerned how the city's being run right now. I describe it as being off the tracks in so many different areas. And frankly, I have the skills as a professional land use planner to help guide the city forward and help other elected officials make decisions that will lead to a prosperous and high quality of life community for all of us. So I'm excited for next week and the vote, and I'm pleased to say that both my opponents, I think, are great people, and I have a lot of respect for both of them.
All right, Jeremy Grimm, thank you for that. Fritz Moore, you're up to introduce yourself, please.
My name is Fritz Moore, and I am running for mayor of Sandpoint because I love this town. And I would like to point out something that I think is crucially important, and that the mayor is the heartbeat of the community. It is more than just one simple explanation or one simple field of expertise. We have to be able to balance a multitude of different personalities, situations, and complicated situations, to put it more frankly. And there's a certain idea that we're working with things like stakeholders, but I would argue that the stakeholder is the individual. The stakeholder is you and me, and we've sort of forgotten that. We've forgotten the idea that the individual is the one that is represented in our Constitution. And there's a reason why officials have to swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, not only of Idaho, but of the United States. And we have to remember what our job is. It is to represent all individuals, not just business interests, not just development interests, not just planning how we're going to use our land, but how we're going to accommodate the welfare of all individuals in the city and provide a future for them and their posterity, meaning their families. And that's where we've gotten very weak. We're seeing a massive decrease in the youth in this town. They're all leaving for opportunity that doesn't exist here. We need to find better ways and better solutions to serve our community. So that's why I'm running for mayor, not as a burning desire of my own, but as a request from the population of this city to please stand up and do something.
All right, Fritz Moore, thank you very much for that. You know, Jeremy, I'm going to bring it back to you, and we're going to start taking a look at some of the problems that are happening that you see in the city of Sandpoint. So give me one top problem and your solution.
The top problem, I would say, is the management of the city. We are currently running under a trial 8-year period of a city administrator, and having been a former department head with the city of Sandpoint, I know how we used to operate the city under a department head form of management, where each department ran their own budget. presented those budgets to the council, debated, discussed priorities. That's the biggest problem I see, and the way I would solve it is I would work with council to move back to a department head form of government and part-time mayor with capable and supportive department heads leading their fields of expertise.
All right. Thank you for that, Jeremy. The same question for you, Fritz.
I'm in agreement with Mr. Grimm on this, and I think that the administrative state of our government is problematic, and we've watched in the last couple of years the bloating of that administration and the departments to great expense to the community and the taxpayer. What I see is a multitude of plans being forced through at breakneck speed and essentially being rubber stamped by the council. I would argue that these people are working, the council members are working and have jobs and, you know, have to focus on their families. They don't have the time to focus on some of these issues, and they're coming at them with such speed for them to make decisions on, and being told that, you know, this needs to be decided on right away. And most of that is because we have a well-funded, well-lubricated administration pushing that agenda.
And your solution quickly?
Well, I'm in agreement. I think we should go back to department heads. I think that we should remove the ability of the city administrator. And I'm also in agreement, Kate has brought up a couple of times, of possibly making the mayor a full-time position, because as a full-time position, you give the mayor greater opportunity to be more involved.
All right, real good. Fritz Moore and Kate, the same question, your top issue with what's happening in the city today.
My top issue is infrastructure, drinkable water, flushable toilets, drivable streets. In 2009, there was a plan to repair the water treatment plant, and it was deferred. And so now really, literally, everything rolls downhill to this council. And I think that we now have a plan that the initial phase for reconstruction of the water sewer treatment plant will start early next year. Also, with the passing of the increase of the visitor tax from 7% to 14%, we now have $1 million slated for street reconstruction and repair. We already have two examples, is Ruth and Ella. We're both repaved, and they look really great. And before, the first 7% of the visitor's tax will stay with what it was before, which is fire and police and sidewalks, things that visitors use. And then the second 7% will be strictly for road repair and maintenance. And previously, we only had $250,000 in our city budget, and now there's over $1 million. And projected over the next 2 years, there's $2 million of repair needing to be done. And we have those prioritized. And again, they are starting already. And I'm looking forward. There was a presentation at the last city council meeting about the priorities of the streets and what we'll be working on next.
All right, very good. I'm going to do a follow-up question here, Kate. I'll keep it with you. You brought up the idea of infrastructure. I'm going to, you know, ask both of you, Jeremy and Fritz, if you agree that infrastructure is a top priority. What is your solution in terms of, they've mentioned city administrators. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the contributing factors to how infrastructure has not taken the lead that you see it needs to have?
I think that the current administration has taken the lead on the infrastructure, because previously we had no plans. And now I know citizens say we have too many plans, but these plans are 20-year plans. And previously everything kept being deferred and deferred and deferred. And so now we do have a path forward with these plans. And of course, plans won't have to be done again because they are 20-year plans. And so those are in process right now to move things forward. And also the city had a strategic plan for the first time ever in 2016. So
listed infrastructure is your top problem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was identified in there as well. And so I think that infrastructure, it's, if we don't have drinkable water, flushable toilets, drivable streets, then that's a real detriment to our town.
Okay. Fritz, comment on infrastructure. We can come back to infrastructure, but just in the relation to, do you see the form of city government we have being a contributing factor to the fact that infrastructure seems to some people have taken a backseat.
Absolutely, I do. And the problem is they keep kicking the can down the road and they're waiting for the perfect plan to come along before they actually address the real problems. And that was made example of at the last city council meeting, where I spent 3.5 hours watching a plan to turn Sandpoint into Disneyland and had to wait until the end of the night to hear about important matters, including a matter where the city was once again out of compliance with the law, which of course naturally they waited until almost midnight to address. This is one of the biggest problems that we're facing, and one that keeps getting pushed aside for beautification projects that are completely unnecessary, and the reason being is because those seem to be the cash cow.
All right, looking for the relationship, if you see it, as between the infrastructure issue and our form of government, i.e. city administrator.
Yeah, Jeremy here. So this administration, our leadership has been chasing these fantastical projects. They've been working on arts and culture plans. They've been working on anything but the real meat and potatoes that needs to be done. You know, we haven't done chip seal. We haven't done crack seal. I'm really frightened what our roads are going to look like next spring. And the big question is, why hasn't it been done? We have these plans, and these infrastructure plans, unfortunately, have not been made during the right process. These plans dictate where our roads, our traffic, our water, our sewer, our density will be laid out. And I don't know how this administration can move forward with those sorts of plans when they haven't even asked the people what they want in the future through the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan is the most critical plan, and that should have gone first. That will dictate where the people want to see this town move in terms of density, growth, facilities. And we're set up right now with a bunch of expensive plans that have no interrelation to with what the people want, because we haven't heard from the people, because the city hasn't adopted a new comprehensive plan.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy Grimm, for that. Fritz, I'm going to bring it back to you. You can kind of keep it where we're at, because I don't want to hurry you through the thoughts you have, but I'm looking for another top problem that you would like to tackle if you're elected mayor.
I think one of the biggest issues that we're facing is public engagement. So for example, the Traverse Park issue that is now being forced into the public eye, there's an idea that there isn't a trend, let's call it a trend, that is being put forth by the city administration, and again, rubber stamped by the city council, where the public engagement is severely lacking, and the public feels like they're being ignored. So they bring their issues with whatever the plan might be, and they listen, but they don't hear, and they don't make any adjustments, meaning that they're just bringing you a plan, telling you what they're going to do, regardless of whether you like it or not. And according to what the mayor said in his last statement, they had some odd 10 engagements with the public, but 67 engagements with quote-unquote stakeholders. Again, my argument is the public is the stakeholder. The individual that is trying to survive and have their family here survive in their posterity, giving their children an opportunity to survive here, they're the stakeholders, and they're being ignored. Their voices are not being heard.
All right, Kate, the same question to you. What's your number two top issue?
Exactly that, community engagement. I do believe that we need to hear more from the community. I would like to bring back citizen committees again, because that was at the forefront before, and I think it's important to hear from citizens and hear what they have to say. I would just like to say, too, that the stakeholder groups actually are citizens of the community as well, and listening to them was important. I would like to have community conversations, a monthly conversation with citizens, either on a Saturday morning or wherever the citizens and what time they would like, because I think it's important to hear what they have to say, and going forward, figure out a way to get them involved in the front end of projects, because we did have open houses and workshops, and I understand that, you know, via email sometimes is not easy, or posting it on the city Facebook page, and so there has to be a better way to get people involved at the beginning, and whether that's perhaps maybe putting something in their water bill. But now a lot of people get their water bill online, and so community engagement is my number two.
All right. Same question to you, Jeremy. Your next top issue.
My next top issue is taking Sandpoint back. And what I mean by that is we've been, whether we've agreed to it or not, we've been turned into a tourist recreation town. And I want this town and this economy to offer opportunity for future generations. So my number two issue is increasing the complexity of our economy, moving strongly away from tourism and doing something called economic gardening, where we help our existing local businesses and manufacturers grow incrementally so we can provide higher wage, higher skilled jobs in this community, because a tourist economy has been helpful as we've transitioned from the resource economy over the decades. But at this point, these are generally low-wage jobs, part-time jobs, and they don't offer the income or the capability to have a high quality of life in this town due to cost of living, cost of housing. So the economy and getting our complexity of this economy moving in the right direction by growing our local businesses that are non-tourist dependent.
All right. Well, we have a lot of good ideas, and we have three candidates, and you know it is your privilege as the voter to you make the choice, because one of these people are going to be our new mayor in Sandpoint. Okay, we're up against a break. We're going to take that break right now.
Hello, this is Scott
and Ty of Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
We are very proud to provide the Sandpoint area with quality, competitive companies and exceptional service.
For all your insurance needs, whether it's life, health, home, auto, or commercial coverage, Scott and I are available to assist you in determining what coverage meets you and your family's needs.
We are located in the old Powerhouse Building, Suite 203, so come on down and see us. 208-265-6406.
Bondo! You need Bondo!
Bondo fixed your car so you can drive him home.
A Crown Victoria.
Never seen a car with so much chrome.
I took it into Anderson's. Expert paint job, shine like the sun.
Woman now thinks that I am number one.
Anderson's Auto Body.
Let's get something straight.
Save now with Bi-Mart's latest membership-only savings book at Bi-Mart.com. It's 16 pages of store-wide savings, including a 65-inch Element 4K TV for just $329.99. Save $20 on an Emerson microwave. Plus, save on holiday family favorites. Kraft Stovetop Stuffing is two for $6, and Ocean Spray Cranberry Sauce is two for $3. The savings continue at Bi-Mart, your Northwest employee-owned membership store.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere. All at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We've got it going on for you today with the three candidates who are running for Sandpoint City Mayor. And they obviously are looking for your vote, and they're here to tell you about themselves, their positions on issues. We're talking with Kate McAllister, Jeremy Grimm, and Fritz Moore today. I'm going to start, Kate, back with you again on Travers Park has been brought up, and I know public interaction has been brought up. I'd like kind of any final comments that you might have about the Travers Park situation.
Right. Thank you so much. It was a unanimous decision for the city council. We all agreed to proceed with the location that is now being excavated for the new indoor recreation site. We did do our due diligence, and we looked at all other sites that could possibly hold the building. When the Travers Park, you know, that was a very rare and unique thing that somebody donated $7.5 million. And Mr. Russell grew up here. And in the winter, he was always upset because there was no place for him to play tennis on the inside. And he thought, what a detriment, especially to our high school kids that perhaps are on the tennis team, that they didn't have a winter indoor recreation site. Again, we did look at all sites, and the site that was selected is the one that we all agreed upon. I think, you know, it's the same as when Memorial Field, when people were upset about Memorial Field, and now people really appreciate it because kids can play longer in the fall. They can play earlier in the spring because of the turf. And so I think a few years down the road, I think people will be appreciative. I know there's a great deal of community members who are appreciative of Travers Park, but it was a unanimous decision, and it was made well before citizens determined that they didn't like the location.
All right. Thank you for that. Jeremy Grimm, what are your thoughts on Travers Park?
My thoughts are that it's been a bit of a quagmire. It's a reflection of the failures of local administration and elected officials. And I'll start from the public comment, where the public was not allowed to even comment at city council meetings about the subject. I'll go from there and look at the fact that the groundbreaking had to occur with police protection behind tarps and screens. And then finally, I'd say, you know, don't let the shiny object take your eye off the focus. We got this tremendously generous donation, but was it really essential to jump right now and make this decision on this park and this feature? Again, I go back to the comprehensive plan. We should focus on that. We should understand where our citizens want to see park improvements. It shouldn't be a reflection of a haphazard consultant that comes in and says, this is your parks plan. So we have the order backwards, and throughout the whole process, I feel like the public's been insulted, and I really can't believe what I witnessed over the last few weeks, the insensitivity and the way the public was treated on this process. I think we need to take a pause. I think we have to understand if the height allowances in the zone, 35 feet in this zone, can accommodate the design, and then we have to just make sure it's the right path forward. And if it is, so be it. But we just need to pause and inform and engage the community at this point.
All right, Jeremy Grimm, thank you for that. Fritz Moore, same question. Close us out on Travers Park. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that Travers Park is a great example of the cultural and historical significance of Sandpoint. The way that park came together, the way the community came together to build it, the generations that have enjoyed that park who have now been ignored, and it is a perfect example of what's happening in our community right now, the divisiveness and the way the administration is ignoring what the people want. I can't find anybody in this town who is actually voting for this, who is actually wanting this. I've talked to a bunch of high school kids. Hey, you guys going to go play pickleball? Who wants to play pickleball? So who exactly is this for? That's my question. And who's deciding that this is for the good of the community? Not to mention the fact that even though Memorial Field might be generating some income for the city now, it's laid out plastic fields that are no fun for anybody to play on. They're actually more dangerous for children to play on than grass fields. So you have a revenue generator, or you have something that's better for the kids. We now have this seems more like a way to generate revenue for the city than it is a public place for the citizens of this city to enjoy. And again, it is to show how this park came about and the way the community came together to build it. The trees were planted in honor of people who passed away. You know, Travers was buried there, his ashes were buried there. This park has cultural significance to this town. And to just ignore that and tear it down and rip it up because we got a $7 million donation, hey, that's a beautiful donation. It's great. I'm all for having an indoor facility. Just not there.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's change our focus to the budget, and we're going to take this question to Jeremy first. My understanding is about half of our city budget is for capital improvements. I'm not sure. That's a pretty broad area. Do you feel like it's enough money that's there? And if you would want to move more money into capital improvements, where would you take the money from without raising taxes? A little bit of a loaded question, but, you know, who, you know, what people... Peter, would you rob to pay Paul?
Yeah. So, you know, when talking about the budget, it's important that people understand that there's different pools and pots of money. It can get a little bit complex, and I don't say that to diminish people's understanding, but grant funding versus, you know, general fund funding, property tax, local option tax, they're all different pots. But in looking at the budget, my two biggest concerns are as follows. First, if you look at under our new administration, there's something called general services. That budget, which from my understanding is effectively the city administrator and services that are provided by that person in that position, that budget's gone from about $3 million to over $5 million in the last 4 years. And for the life of me, I can't understand what that expansion has been for. In addition, to actually accelerate some capital projects, I would look at the almost $400,000 that's available in that general service division, including city administrator, two executive assistants, and a few other positions that I don't fully understand. And I would redirect that towards, you know, capital projects. So that's a quick fix. And then, you know, moving in that direction, I think we need to look at every cost savings, pause all non-essential projects, and put everything into capital projects, because I am just so concerned that our roads are not built on solid base. They're built at a time when Sandpoint didn't have a lot of money. A lot of them are built on clay as substandard surfaces, and we haven't maintained them. We've ignored the fact that our roads need maintenance, chip sealing, crack sealing. And if you look at the grass growing in the cracks, this spring's going to be a horrible breakup, and we've really missed the opportunity, I'm afraid.
All right, the same question to you, Fritz. How would you change the budget with in regard to capital improvements? Would you increase it, or would you're satisfied with where it is?
Well, you know, I would have to agree with Jeremy. After looking at the budget, I am concerned about the bloated budget of the administration and what exactly it's serving. Because he's correct, there has been millions of dollars added to this budget, and does not seem to be going to good use. So, to be honest, you know, I would like to see a true audit done of the budget, because what we get are projected budgets. We're not that's what's available to the public. We're not actually getting actual expenditures. And I want to see actual expenditures. I want to know where all the money is actually going and to who. Because the only way we're going to fix that problem is find the places where we can nip and trim and eliminate expenses. As for this resort tax, I know that the city is touting that as a success, but if you go and talk to the people who are actually being taxed on that, it's not very successful for them. That you've got two things happening here. You've got things like developers using impact fees. Impact fees get transferred onto the customer, not the developer. Doesn't matter. It's like a hidden tax, right? So now you've got resort taxes that have been jacked up on people who are just trying to make extra money to survive. These are hidden taxes on people that are not solving our problems, even though they're being touted as things that are solving our problems.
All right. Thank you for that. Kate McAllister, same question on budget, capital improvements. What are your thoughts?
I think that our budget is actually adequate. We spend a lot of time working on the budget. And also, citizens can go online. We have budget books, and they can drill down to exactly what everything went to and what it was paid for. And the visitor's tax actually is paid by visitors. It's not paid by local people. It's, you know, when people come to town and they get a hotel room, it's in addition. If you travel a lot, $79 for a room. If you think you're going to get $79, that's not right. It's 79 plus, plus, plus. And so those are actually derived from the visitors who visit here, because rather than tax the citizens of Sandpoint, this was a way that we could, those who are visiting and tourists, tourism, which does bring in a lot of money to our economy here in town. And most of the businesses downtown rely on tourism. And since it's mostly word of mouth, I'm not sure how we can slow that down. But I think our budget we did a really good job on the budget, and that more than half of our budget does go to capital projects.
And a quick follow-up, Kate, you would like to see the, I'll just call it the tourist tax, the room tax, mm-hmm. go from 7% to 14%, and it would still just be directed at tourists.
It already did. Yeah. Citizens voted on it last year. And yes, it is a visitor's tax. It is a bed tax.
All right, we are up against another break. That's incredible. We're going to take it right now. It's our last break. Don't go anyplace. We have a lot more for these candidates to talk to you about.
It's fall cleanup time. Come into the co-op today and find everything you need to easily deal with leaves and yard and garden cleanup. From leaf bags to rakes, gloves and wheelbarrows, trash cans, weed eaters, and more. Fall cleanup is a snap when you have the right tools, and you can find them all at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, where neighbors have been helping neighbors since 1934. 208-263-6820.
Every 40 seconds a child is reported missing. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of their mission by donating your unwanted car. Call 1-800-775-5622. You'll receive the maximum tax deduction, and we provide fast, free pickup. Call 1-800-775-5622. Donate your unwanted or unused car. Call 1-800-775-5622. This advertisement was paid for by Cars R Us and Find the Children.
Standing at the edge of a rocky shore, you breathe in the cool, salty air, watching the sun disappear on the horizon. Across the globe, someone begins their day along a sandy beach, listening to the rhythm of the crashing waves. You each envision a world beneath the water, vibrant life in every imaginable form. Now, imagine it's all gone. What was once a place of wonder and beauty is now a dull, lifeless wasteland. Food, jobs, medicine, all gifts from the ocean, all gone. Time is running out to protect our oceans. And without our love, everything the oceans provide can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our oceans. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
What's holding you back from learning the language you've always wanted to know?
Too hard.
Takes too long.
Not with Babbel. Babbel's lessons take just 15 minutes a day.
15 minutes isn't long.
Nope. And they're fun. So you don't realize you're learning a language, but you are. In 3 weeks, you're able to start having conversations. And Babbel's lessons are built around real life.
And with Babbel, it isn't hard.
It's perfect.
Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
North Idaho's radio, 97.1 FM.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in with us today. You are probably grabbing us at 97.1 FM. Maybe you're online at NorthIdahoRadio.com. I know we've got Boundary County voters and listeners up there at 1450 AM. You guys can't vote for Sandpoint Mayor, but it's good that you're listening. And, you know, maybe next week. No, not next week. That's Election Day. The week after that, you want to call and tell me who you liked. Up there in Boundary County, I would take that phone call. All right, everyone. To our candidates, we've got Kate McAllister, Jeremy Grimm, Fritz Moore. I'm going to start with, I don't know who I started with the last time, I'm out of order, so I'm going to start with Jeremy. And it's going to be, what do you like, what do you agree with that the city of Sandpoint has done recently?
Thanks so much. That's a tough one. There's a lot I think is not going the right direction, but I guess if I had to dig and find something that I'm supportive of, that I think they're doing a good job, I would have to reflect on the watershed, the Sand Creek watershed, the partnership between Ponderay Peddlers and other organizations, working with Kinnickso Land Trust, and opening up and providing access to a tremendous area that's going to be a benefit to all residents. That's the one thing I would say. I would give an A. You know, they're really making some inroads, working on trails, working on management plans, and really trying to make that asset something that benefits the city of Sandpoint residents.
All right, Jeremy Grimm, thank you for that. Kate, to you as council member and president, of the council, what are you the most proud of that you can tell us about?
Well, there are a number of things, and one, I agree with Mr. Grimm about the watershed. We've done a lot of hard work on that, protecting the watershed and opening it up for recreation, receiving grants and collaborating with POP and also with Kinnixu. I think that's a great project and very beneficial because we are a very outdoor recreation-centric community. I also think we've done a good job of supporting our police officers with making sure that they are paid properly, that they have the right equipment that they need. I think that the City Hall itself, in reorganizing City Hall, when you go in, it's a one-stop shop, so you don't have to go all over the building looking for who you might be looking for. You can just ask right there. And also, I think we've done a good job of hiring some really great experts in their fields, between planning, between parks, and other departments.
All right. Thank you for that, Kate McAllister. Fritz Moore, same question to you. What do you like that they've done recently?
Well, it sounds like we're all in agreement. The watershed it is. It's unfortunate that the last city council meeting, we had to wait almost 4 hours to hear about it after the Disneyland plan was put forth for us to sit through. That is a perfect example, by the way, of why the community does not get involved, because most people can't show up to a city council meeting and stay until midnight. I'd also like to address the issue of that tax that we were talking about. It is a resort tax, and yes, it is for tourists, but who ends up paying it? The people who have the ADUs, who have the Airbnbs. And if you look and go and talk to business owners and you go and talk to anybody who has a unit like that that is for rent, this is one of the worst winters that they have ever experienced in this town. Tourism was through the floor. So who exactly is the tax supporting? It's not supporting the business owner, and it certainly isn't supporting the tourists. So if it's supporting the city, their coffers are not as full as they want to make everybody believe they are.
All right. Thank you for that. Kate, I'm going to take this question to you first. As you talk to voters, not necessarily in a forum, but in a more informal, as you talk to the people who vote, what do you consider to be their number one concern, and is it matching the concerns that we've been talking about?
Thank you. Yes, I believe it is. I think it, you know, we've talked a lot about engagement. Individual, you know, citizen engagement. And so that's the one thing that I've talked to voters about and voters who have come to talk to me about. And I agree. And so that's why even before the Travers Park situation, I had already decided that I would like to meet with citizens on an ongoing basis. I think our current mayor has been absent for the past 4 years. And that is really unfortunate because I think it is the mayor's duty to, as Fritz has said, to really engage citizens and be out among the citizens, because as it is a part-time job and there is an operations manager to take care of operations, I think that's what our time should be spent doing, is out being amongst the people. I've attended a lot of staff meetings of businesses so that I could meet the people where they were or where they are and listening and just listening to them.
All right. Jeremy, same question to you.
I'm hearing from a lot of folks that they're concerned about the management of the city and infrastructure, specifically the roads. You know, people, it's one of the most used elements of city services other than water and sewer, and people are just shocked at the condition of the roads. City management and roads.
All right, Fritz, same question to you. What are the voters telling you?
That they can't afford to live here, that everything that is being produced and developed is unaffordable, that there aren't enough jobs here to support their lifestyle or their lives. And it's interesting. I know people here that have jobs that, you know, even 15, 20 years ago would have been able to survive in a city like Seattle, and now they can't survive in a small town like Sandpoint. Housing is a massive issue, and honestly, the plans that are coming forth are being touted as problem solvers, but in my opinion, they are not going to solve our problem. They're just going to make things worse. So affordability and livability is the biggest issue.
All right, keeping it with you, really short answers on this one. Do you want to get rid of the city administrator position, or have you gone that far in your thinking?
Oh, put me on the spot. I am inclined to remove that position and go back to department heads. I'm in agreement there. I think that that is a better solution.
Thanks. Yeah, we're running out of time. Of course. Kate, the same question to you. And the reason I'm asking is because the city council candidates, the five that I talked to, they wanted a strong mayor, and that was kind of where that was coming from. But do you want to get rid of the city administrator position?
First of all, we still have a strong mayor form of government. It's not a city manager. It's a city administrator. I think the question is, too, is why Mayor Logan wanted to have that position anyway. In my opinion, it is because that person can run the operations, and the mayor being part-time.
So you would not get rid of city administrator?
Not at this time, no.
All right, thank you for that. Jeremy, same question.
Yeah, thanks. Yes, I would get rid of it. And I think with a strong mayor that the mayor could be supported by a mayor's assistant or one of the two executive assistants that the current city administrator uses, I think we could do all of that work with less overhead, and the mayor with one assistant.
All right. Excellent. You guys did good on that question. We are up to closing comments. You've got about a minute. You don't have to take it if you don't want to. Fritz, I'm going to start with you. Say goodbye to our audience.
Thank you for having me today, Barbara. I appreciate it. You can find me at fritzmoreforsandpoint.com and Fritz for Mayor on Instagram. I am a people's mayor. I am a representative of you. My interest is you, the people. I do not have any conflicts of interest in this run. I'm not going to have to put aside a job to be the mayor of this city. I am fully dedicated to being there, to being your mayor, the face and the heartbeat of this city. I am approachable. I am available. And my heart is in this. I'm also a perfect neutral arbiter who is willing to have the conversation with any and all, including my two running mates, or my opponents, I guess you would call them. So if you're interested in that, vote for Fritz Moore for mayor.
All right. Thank you, Fritz Moore. Kate, say goodbye to our audience, please.
Thank you, Barbara, for having me. I would just like to say that I think it's a privilege to run for a nonpartisan position. I believe my fellow council members have said the reason that they support me, specifically Joel, Justin, Jason, and Deb, is that I am fair, is that I treat everybody the same. I don't lean one way or the other because I truly believe that's what nonpartisan means. I've worked side by side with many community members for 30 years, and I certainly would love to serve in the capacity as your mayor. I'm very approachable. I will be leaving the chamber job should I be mayor, because I think it's very important to dedicate my time to that position. And I just you can find out more about me at katemcallister.com and Kate for Sandpoint, and also Kate for Mayor on Facebook. I really appreciate the time, and I certainly ask for your vote. Thank you.
All right, Kate McAllister, thank you for that. Jeremy Grimm, say goodbye to our audience.
Goodbye, audience. thanks for listening. And you can Google Jeremy Grimm and you'll see all the pages out there that are available. I'm doing this running for mayor because I have two children that I want to be able to live and continue to raise families in this community. I have the skills. I have the knowledge. I have the background to deal with all these things. In fact, I get hired by towns and counties and highway districts to help advise them through things just like what Sandpoint's going through right now. We have a huge, deep hole to dig out of. We've ignored critical infrastructure for too many years, and we have probably $120 million worth of infrastructure to get going to make sure that the most basic elements of a town work: water, sewer, roads. I am certainly passionate about this. I've never run for office before. If I don't become elected, I don't expect to ever run again. I'm doing this because I'm at my wit's end, like a lot of residents are, and I want to see some changes. So thanks for your vote on November 7th. I'll work tirelessly for the people of Sandpoint, and I'll make sure that we can get ourselves back on track.
All right, Jeremy Grimm, thank you for that. And thank you, audience, for you guys being out there listening, tuning in. It's your decision, and it's your vote next Tuesday. Come on back next week. We're going to be honoring our veterans, talking about specific programs and services that are dedicated to America's veterans. So until next week, this is Barbara saying take care of yourselves and each other. May God richly bless you, my friends, and may God bless our veterans.